Grand rising, rise and shine, rise and shine. What it do, people? What it do? How y'all doing today? Hopefully y'all are ready for this eclipse energy. Hopefully y'all have been paying attention all week long. You know, what's up, Spicy? What's up, Mr. Mental? How y'all doing? Hope you slept well. Hope you've been, well, probably haven't been having a choice of doing some reflection. The moon, where's everything at currently? The moon's at 13 degrees. Virgo. Heading toward the eclipse. Sun is currently at 27 degrees 53 minutes. It won't make it to 28. It'll make it to 28 degrees around 12 o'clock. And at that point, at 28 degrees 33 minutes will be the exact opposition with Saturn. I call that this week Saturn's karmic mirror. Why is it Saturn's karmic mirror? Because the sun and Saturn actually are nemesis. If you, the sun is actually the light and Saturn is actually the dark. Saturn would be equivalent to the devil, right? The sun rules Leo. Saturn sits in opposition to that in Aquarius. The queen, the moon, rules Cancer. Saturn sits in opposition to that in Capricorn. And so that's some of the reason why this is known as, well, I labeled it Saturn's karmic mirror. This is a south node eclipse. South node is about decrease, walking away, but not totally walking away, because within that energy lies gifts. Within that energy lies gifts. All right. And I covered this week, Virgo. This is happening at the critical 29th degree in Virgo, which makes Mercury the ruler of this eclipse. And so I covered Mercury's journey this week, you know, because it's, you can't just look at things and just one off. You got to look at it in a series, as a series of events, right? Like I said, it's happening at 29 degrees. The 29th degree, it's called the aneritic degree, or you will also hear the critical degree. And 29, and Virgo is about perfection and refinement. And so this is the final point. You know, we can't get any further than this in Virgo. And 29, numerology wise, 29 is it points to the chronicle and news, right? The one who records destiny, what's a chronicle, right? Now, the number 29 reduces, you reduce the number, 2 plus 9 is 11, and 11 is one of those master numbers. And 11 points to illumination through crisis. Crisis. Right? Illumination through crisis. The razor's edge between deception and revelation. So you could put 29, news, chronicle, the one who records destiny, with illumination through crisis, deception, the razor's edge between deception and revelation. Why deception? Because I keep telling y'all, you can't look at things at one off. So what's the opposition of Virgo? Is Pisces, and Pisces is fogginess and deception and stuff like that. Something being revealed that may, you know, bring up or make you feel like this is a crisis point, but it's about illumination. And then you also, then you even go even further and take that 11, 1 plus 1 equals 2, and that's about choice, polarity, union and union after separation, right? So this eclipse, just looking at it from the numbers wise, the eclipse is not only about endings, but about writing the history of those endings. What does that mean? Also, it's about dissolving old narratives, exposing illusions, forces us to decide whether we are ready to step into unity or remain divided in the shadows. What's a false narrative? Something that's been being a story, or something that's been being said about you that really ain't true. Yeah, you know, it would be equivalent to someone meeting you and after interacting with you, they say, "You're nothing like I heard." Well, what did you hear? Right? So what I was told about you in my interaction with you is totally different, right? And that's equivalent to letting an old story, an old narrative die, you know? I'd use this example too. What if you moved away? What if you was somebody who caused a whole bunch of trouble in the town and you moved away from that town? And you changed your life and you went a different, but when you go back to that town, they keep telling that, bringing up that old story. Hey dude, it's 20 years later. That story don't apply to me no more. Why do you keep telling it? That it doesn't apply anymore. Right? So the 29 and this eclipse, by the way, I said it's a south node eclipse, letting go of old narratives, old stories and stuff like that. I also talked about Saturn being the karmic mirror, because this Saturn's at 28 degrees, this happening at 29 degrees. It's also 28 to the beginning of Libra, that is in the bounds of Saturn. So this eclipse, yes, is in the rulership of Virgo, but within that rulership, they have to answer to Saturn. Saturn has a say-so in what's going on. And Saturn's in Pisces, right? In this opposition, and Saturn's in its own bounds. And when it's in its own bounds, it's given more strength. It's strengthened. And Saturn is also currently retrograde. What's that mean? This is about finishing up the last pieces of Saturn's trip through Pisces the last 2.5 years. Now think back, what's been going on with you for the last 2.5 years? This is the culmination. All of that was for you to see what needed to be released. Virgo is about discernment. Right? Right? And let's not also forget that Saturn is the Lord of Karma. Ooh, what's that? What you think that mean? What's going on right now has a karmic flavor. It's some karmic stuff going on with you, with everybody. But then you know, right? And Saturn, and I told you, Pisces, modern ruler of Pisces, Neptune is, you know, fogginess, illusions and stuff like that. And Saturn is here in Pisces, been in Pisces, and now it's back to say, hey, for the last 2.5 years, I've been traveling through Pisces trying to dissolve illusions. I've been trying to dissolve these fantasies. I've been trying to dissolve where you escape from. Now this is where knowing your chart comes into handy. Where's your Pisces area? What house is Pisces falling for you? Because this is where that has been going on. Saturn in Pisces has been trying to call you out, call you to the carpet about where you've been spiritually bypassing in this area. Saturn is here to say, hey, you remember that question you had? What if? You still got it? And do you want to take that what if question to your grave? Think about it. How many what if questions you already got to take to your grave now? And so Saturn in Pisces has been asking you to clear up the fogginess, clear up the confusion in this area. And what's behind it? Virgo. What's in opposition to that? Virgo. And Virgo's about precision. By the way, it could go, and this is Mercury, and Mercury's about rules the mind, right? It also can go the other way, as in, are you too logical and you need to learn how to lean on your intuition? Do you overthink or overanalyze intuitive hits? Yeah. Hey, all y'all in there, type in what house, if you know, what house is your Pisces area? What house is your Pisces area? Type it in so you can be focused there right now. We got the 11th house. We got the 8th house up in here. We got an 8th house Pisces. We got an 11th house Pisces up in here. I'm a 10th house Pisces. Shout out your Pisces. What area has your karma been showing up? 11th house is your friends and groups and networks that you belong to. 8th house has been, you know, shared assets, deep bonded relationships. Hell, karma. Money owed. 6. Or lack thereof. This has been going on in your first house. Have you been lying to yourself? What illusions and delusions and, you know, escapism has been going on with inside yourself? Right? Now, I said that this is happening in Virgo, and Mercury is the ruler of Virgo, right? And Mercury has been on a journey, you know, and if y'all been paying attention to the stuff, I've been trying to tell y'all about Mercury's journey, because you got to track it. Now, where's Virgo for you? Where's Virgo for you? So, this Mercury, what's been going on with Mercury? I don't know if y'all recall. There's usually only one new moon and full moon in every month, right? And so this was a rare, Virgo season was a rare two moon. We had a new moon. Well, that was the lunar eclipse. We had two, so we had a new moon the very first day of Virgo. We had a new moon that day. What was it? August. Shoot, I should have. What day was that? What's the first? I'll tell you real quick. Give me a second. Yeah, it was at 0 degrees, August 23rd. August 23rd, we had a new moon in Virgo. That was at 0 degrees Virgo. Now, I was talking about we have a book in new moons with a full moon on the 7th. That was a solar eclipse. That was the full moon. All right, and that was on the 7th. So we had two new moons, boom, and now we had the other new moon. And on that new, in Virgo. And so all of this is ruled by Mercury. So the first new moon, which was the first day of Virgo, where was Mercury? Mercury was still in Leo, right? And so, what's Leo about? You know, creativity and being seen, being heard. Actually, fun and joy. And so, but you got to put Mercury on this. Mercury's the mind. Mercury's how you think, how you perceive, how you communicate. And so that new moon was about seeding your authentic voice and trying to bring creative clarity. Because sometimes if you've been dealing with the same thing for years, it takes creative thinking to get out or to get out of that situation. Does that make sense? Hey, maybe I need to get creative with how I've been approaching this situation. Does that make any sense? Then we moved on to the seventh, and they had another eclipse, right? And in that eclipse, where was Mercury? By that time, Mercury was in Virgo at home, right? And the South Node is in Virgo, let's remember. So at that eclipse on the 7th, it was illuminating what requirements need refinement. It was showing you, hey, in this area, maybe you need to make some adjustments. You might need to refine this area, right? Think about your Virgo. Where's your Virgo area? This is what I'm talking about. This is where this energy is focused at. Then, after that, Mercury moved on and it had a conjunction. A conjunction means a meeting, they come together. They had a conjunction with the South Node. And at this point, the South Node is karmic, just like the nodes are karmic, just like Saturn's, just like Saturn stuff is karmic as well. And this was started the karmic unraveling. And this was showing you, or if you was paying attention, it was showing you what you needed to release, what outdated Mercury, mine, what outdated mental processes that you need to walk away from. They're not serving you anymore. They actually could be actually holding you back. Has any of that come up for y'all? Has any of y'all seen it? Or has any of this been illuminated for y'all? Hey, I need to stop being a perfectionist around here because in this area, because it's holding me back from actually putting it out to the world or doing this in the world. Hey, my love language actually is outdated. And I actually was programmed with toxic love. I need to upgrade my outdated programming on love because that shit is not serving me anymore. How, you know, I'm not saying that applies. I could apply to you, but I'm just giving you an example. How you doing, Brenda? What's up, Sam? And then Mercury moved on from that South Node. And then it met up with the Sun. in Virgo. What's up, Tam? Then the Mercury met up with the Sun. And that was the Kazemi. And what is a Kazemi? Kazemi means in the heart of the Sun. Right? In the heart of the Sun, it's kind of like by the way, all the planets go through a Kazemi, right? It's like, and when it happens, it's kind of like a burning off of old karma, burning off of what you've been working on and being given a set of new orders, a new marching orders and stuff like that. Hey, take this and take this. All right. It's time, you've been dealing with that. It's time to let that go. Now take this on, all right? So the Mercury Kazemi in Virgo, that was about solar fire infusing with the mind, receiving direct instructions. Why am I saying direct instructions? Because Mercury is the messenger of God. The Sun is God, and Mercury sits at the, well, depending on which way you're looking, Mercury sits at both sides of the king and queen. Where is a messenger supposed to be? Right next to the person to receive and then go distribute the message. What do I mean by Mercury sits on the both sides of the king and queen? Well, if you think about it, I don't know if you can you, all right, yeah. This Leo right here, the Sun rules this. Here's Cancer. The Moon rules this. Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo. Gemini and Virgo. The King, Mercury. The Queen, Mercury. Does that make sense to y'all? Y'all get that? So that's why Mercury is the messenger of God. All right. So then Mercury moves faster than the Sun. And so Mercury had that Kazemi. And then Mercury moved on and had an opposition to Saturn. This is all going on in Virgo. Y'all, this has all been going on this week. Now, what was going on there? We got Mercury in its own rulership, Virgo. But it hit 28 degrees. And at that moment, it was in the bounds of Saturn. So Mercury had an opposition with Saturn. Saturn was in its own bounds in Pisces. And Mercury was at home in Virgo, but it was in the bounds of Saturn. What does that mean? Saturn rents a house from Mercury in Virgo. Mercury has a, just think about Mercury as a real estate owner, you know, owns a few houses. Matter of fact, owns five houses on the street. And Saturn owns one of those houses. And Mercury goes over to Saturn's house. Even though Mercury owns that house, Saturn rents it. And so when Mercury's in that house of the renter, how much say does Mercury have? Rent paid on time and all that? Does Mercury have any say, really have that much say in that house? Or does Mercury have to follow what Saturn says while Mercury's in that house? Think about that. You renting a house, your landlord comes over. Who has more say so in that house? The landlord or you? And your rent's on time and everything paid up. Who has more say so? Anybody can answer, please. So what does that mean? So even though we got conflicting. Look, we got an opposition here. One says me, one says the landlord. That's the perfect example of an opposition. Right? So this Mercury Saturn opposition, it was about testing your new clarity against old limitations. Well, what's that mean? Saturn was like, all right, Mercury, we've been trying to South Node clean up this house. We've been trying to clean up this house. And you've been traveling. You was in Leo. You've been retrograding in fire. Then we had, hey, Mercury, we gave you two rare new moons, two seasons, and a ending, big ending, because it was eclipse ending. So this is all about big beginnings and big endings. And then you travel and you hit the South Node. You hit the Kazemi illumination we've been trying to show. And then Mercury hit Saturn and saying, hey, Saturn saying, hey, before you go on, by the way, the messenger of God, Mercury, is going on into Libra, making way for the king. Telling everybody, hey, the king is coming, the king is coming. And Saturn said, hey, Mercury, I'm going to test it out. I'm going to see if you got it before you move on. I hope y'all got it. Look, 11 people. 11 likes. Shout out to the universe. But, which is interesting because Mercury moved on and hit 1 degree and something happened at 1 degree Libra. But, So Saturn was like, hey, did you do the work? Did you figure out what mental patterns you need to let go? What was going on with that? Did you figure all that out? You know, you're about to go into Libra, and Libra's about balancing relationships and all of that. And you can't go into these, you planting seeds and all of this stuff, and you're going to go into these brand new relationships with this old patterns of thinking. How you going to get these relationships back to balance with that old shit? Do you have proper boundaries, Saturn? In Pisces, do you have proper boundaries? Do you have, you know, do you have clarity? Did you use discernment? By the way, have you used proper judgment, Saturn? Or are you still confused and foggy and all of that shit? Right? So, and then Mercury went into Libra. By the way, when planets make shifts, when they shift, you know, things. So Mercury went into Libra. And so now it wasn't about discerning and discernment and stuff like that. Now it's about, okay, now you in these relationships, back into this relationship energy. You back into this relationship energy. Okay, what discernment? Who needs to stay and who needs to go? By the way, when I'm talking relationships, I'm not just talking romantic. I'm talking family members, friends, coworkers. Hey, do you need to go to another person at the checkout line? Are you tired of that person's attitude? Do you need to tell that person at the checkout line something? Do you need to tell her something about her customer service? Right? And so when Mercury left Virgo, we went from analysis and synthesis to balance, trying to perfect the balance in relationships. Right? And now, and then, all right, hold up. So then Mercury left Libra, and right as it left left Virgo, and as soon as it got into Libra, bam, had an opposition with Neptune, who, by modern wise, Neptune is the ruler of Pisces. So hey, you just came out, Saturn. You modern wise, hey, that's my house. Well, hey, what was going on? So, in all actuality, in a way that can make Mercury and Neptune kind of nemesis in a way. All right, and not only was it having, and Neptune is about illusions and fogginess, and we were just not talking about all that clarity. Trying to clean up fogginess and clarity. And then, even though, and it was having an, at the same time it was having an opposition with Neptune, it was at 1 degree in a grand trine. With retrograding Pluto in Aquarius and Uranus in Gemini. Gemini is about communication. Aquarius is about future thinking. And then remember, in Leo, we talked about creative thinking, which takes innovative, new. Uranus, boom. Uranus. Creative, innovative thinking. Pluto, death and regeneration. Old patterns of death and restart, birth of a new. Out of the ashes rise the phoenix. Libra, Aquarius, Gemini is air. Air is about thoughts and all of that. So we go from refinement in Virgo to air, boom, grand trine, which is a gift. Grand trine is a God-given gift, but it's so God-given that we could be lazy with it. So it was in the air. It's kind of still in the air. It's separating now. So you was handed this gift of energy, of new and creative ways of perspectives at looking at relationship, looking at ways of communicating and stuff like that. All of that went on this week and all of that, right? So I talked about rewriting history. What, you know, the South Node is going through that, refining, rewriting your history, right? And so Saturn, all, if it put everything together that I said, Saturn retrograde was whispers reasons to retreat. What is retreat? Run away. The universe been showing you stuff, showing you old wounds, showing you familiar things that limited you. Been showing you ways that you have been escaping from reality. It's been showing you this. Right? And we was tasked with the mind. We was given a task with this eclipse. Right? Was Virgo's precision. And so we were supposed to, with precision, surgically cut away all of this stuff. That old wounds, familiar limitations, ways we escape. We're supposed to be cutting this stuff away. And this eclipse is saying, hey, you've been talking about it. Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Hey, you've been talking about it. No more time for preparations. No more talking. No more overanalyzing. Well, let me look up some more information. Nah, you got it all. You got all the answers. You got what you need. You got all that. Stop talking about it. Stop waiting for the perfect condition. What's that? Stop waiting for New Year's Day to start exercising. If you really wanted to exercise, does it have to be the brand new year? Is it about the day, or is it really about really exercising? Yeah, the perfect time is now. What you waiting on? Or what is what you waiting on? Old wounds. The reason you still waiting because you still holding on to old wounds. Familiar limitations. I can't because of in the past. Right? And then the grand trine was giving you the, providing you with the perfect tools. Hey, I can give you a tool. What you gonna do with it? And Uranus is about revolution. Pluto, the Mercury is in the grand trine with Pluto and Uranus. Hey, Pluto was like, hey, I give you the energy to kill that. And Uranus is like, hey, and I'll provide you the energy to revolutionize. Get away. Liberate yourself from that old mental patterns and mental thinking. I'm providing you with the tools. What you gonna do with them? Did you do anything? I'm giving you the tools to think beyond your old paradigms. Are you using discernment to transform your dreams into reality? Dreams, Pisces. See how I got that? All right. Now we here. At the eclipse. And then I asked y'all some questions like, what task of yours what tasks have you in your Virgo area that needs completion? What illusions and from old stories and wounds and stuff that you need to release? And where are you listening? Are you letting their words and stuff, what they say, distract you and insert doubt with inside you? All right, so this eclipse is about conquest of illusions. The conquest of illusions through immediate focused action. Like Mr. Mental said, what you're waiting on, the perfect time is now. So it's about conquest of illusions through immediate focused action. Now, y'all ready to make this person? I'm going through it through the rising signs, right? But you know, don't just pay attention to your rising sign, right? You also could pay attention to you for your sun and your moon energy, because in all actuality, within that sun and that moon energy, it's not going directly apply, but it's going color the flavor. You're going to feel the flavor as well within that. And yeah. Well, truth be told, in a way, each rising sign, each sign actually applies to that area of your chart. So even though I'm about to go through Aries rising, right? What I'm about to say about Aries, me as a Gemini rising, this may apply to my 11th house. It is going, and if I really sat back and, you know what I mean, reflected on it and all that, I probably could see some of this energy manifest, how it manifests within it, right? So that's why I said, you know, it's cool to pay attention to your rising sign, because that's where it's really going to be hitting, because that's where the actual stuff is moving at. But within that, you also could see your sun and moon energy as well. All right. So y'all ready to get to it? Aries rising. This eclipse is the gate of devotion. The gate of devotion. The eclipse is in your sixth house. Saturn opposition is in your 12th. By the way, just because something is happening in one house, don't think it just applies to that one house. Yes, it's going to also apply to the house in opposition and the two houses across. Let's just say that would be collateral damage, right? So, eclipses in the 6th for Aries and Saturn opposition in the 12th. Your mandate, complete the sacred task, let devotion become transformation. Your daily routine, health protocol, or work system demands surgical precision. This is about perfecting a service that eliminates chaos from your life. Your illusion, the illusion to conquer, that you heal, that you can heal or serve others without first mastering your own habits. Release the victim mentality around past burdens and spiritual bypassing. The temptation, Saturn in your 12th house whispers seductive escape fantasies, martyrdom, spiritual bypassing, or if only thinking that prevents dealing with practical realities. The revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra, activates your 7th house. Refine your relational contracts. Use authentic partnership communication to ground your service in truth. The sacred now. You didn't know this, Mr. Mental. The perfect time is now. The sacred now. Funny how things line up, huh? What health, work, or daily system has been calling for completion? Stop avoiding doctor's visits, the messy work situation, or daily discipline your body demands. Now, if you got if you got some Aries energy, tell me that didn't apply to you. Anyway. Taurus rising. The gate of joy. Taurus rising, the gate of joy. The eclipse in the 5th. Saturn opposition from your 11th house. Your mandate, finish the creative work that reveals your soul, your creative fire, romantic declaration or authentic voice, or authentic self-expression demands final manifestation. Illusions to conquer, that you need group approval or must conform to collective expectations to be worthy of creative joy. Release fantasies about romantic ideals or creative projects with no future. Your temptation, Saturn in the 11th, presents the illusions that you need community validation or must sacrifice authentic self-expression for social belonging. Your revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra, liberates your 6th house. Ritualize your joy into daily practice. Schedule some joy in your life, Taurus rising. Group ground creative inspiration through skillful, consistent work. Your sacred now. What creative work has been gestating that expresses your authentic essence? Stop waiting for permissions from your friends or social media validation. Put that shit out, Taurus rising. Talk your shit, Taurus rising. your truth, Taurus rising. Gemini rising, the gate of foundation. The eclipse is in the fourth, and Saturn's opposition is in the 10th. Your mandate, finish the inner work, clean the altar of origin, your emotional foundation, family patterns, or living situation requires complete reconstruction. Gemini rising is the time to move. Illusions to conquer, that you must maintain a public image or professional facade that no longer serves your soul's evolution. Release false narratives about your past or what constitutes security. Your temptation. Saturn in your 10th house tempts you to perform for public approval rather than address the foundational work your private life demands. Gemini rising, are you out here dancing like a puppet for the public? Revolutionary tools. Mercury in Libra lights up your fifth. Create from purified joy, not from inherited scripts. Let authentic communication about your needs lead to creative breakthrough. Your sacred noun. What foundational shift, home, family, emotional security, has been calling? Your public life can't be built on shaky personal foundation. Gemini rising. Is your foundation built on quicksand? If so, you better move that foundation. Cancer rising. The gate of language. The gate of language. The eclipse in the third house. Saturn is in opposition in the ninth house. Your mandate, finish the message. Speak the purified truth. Your communication, learning, or local environments demand final clarity about how you think, speak, and connect daily. Illusions to conquer. That you need advanced degrees, distant teachers, or exotic philosophies to access wisdom. Release outdated mental patterns or communication habits that keep you small. Small. Not big. Small. S-M-R. Small. Your temptation. Saturn in your ninth house tempts you to escape into spiritual abstraction, philosophical bypassing, or seeking validation from distant authorities. Marvin Gaye had a song, Distant Lover. Your revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra, activates your seventh house. Root your voice in emotional clarity. Authentic communication emerges from genuine values and emotional reality. Can't be authentic if you emotionally lying to yourself. Your sacred noun. What truth needs to be communicated with precision? What does that mean? Speak directly. Stop beating around the bush. Wisdom lives in masterful expression of simple truths, not complex spiritual concepts. Put it where the goats can get it. Leo rising. The gate of value. The gate of value. Leo rising, you got a toll bridge at your gate? Or should you put up a toll? Eclipse in the second house. Saturn opposition in from the eighth. Your mandate, finish the work that proves your value. Your relationship with money, possessions, and self-worth requires complete overhaul based on authentic gifts, not ego gratification. Your illusions to conquer, that your worth depends on others' investment in you or external validation. Release financial fantasies or defining self-worth by what you have versus who you are. It's not all the stuff you got in the closet or in a storage bin. That don't make you who you are. Temptation. Saturn in your eighth house whispers fears about transformation. Fears about shared resources or intimate entanglements that keep you trapped in scarcity thinking. I want to transform, but I'm scared of it. What will a transformation look like? What will I be like on the other side? Ooh, but I'm comfortable here. The devil I know is better than the devil I don't know. I don't know what transformation is. Revolutionary tool. Mercury and Libra activates your third of communication. Use language as currency of truth. Authentic self-expression generates genuine resources through valuable communication. Closed mouths don't get fed, Leo rising. The sacred noun. What financial or material reality needs brutal honesty? Build security through authentic gifts, not manipulative dynamics or others' expectations. Virgo rising. The gate of embodiment. This eclipse is happening in the first house. Saturn is opposition in your seventh. Your mandate, the final task that defines who you are becoming. Wait, finish the task that defines who you becoming. This is your moment of total metamorphosis. The culminating choice between who you've been and who you meant to be. Virgo, it's time to come out to be the butterfly. It's time to be the butterfly. Illusions to conquer. Any false narrative about your identity, capabilities, or purpose. You are the neophyte and the architect. Completion becomes selfhood. The temptation in your seventh house whispers relational fall. Don't collapse into projection or compromise your truth to maintain partnership harmony. Sometimes you have to break it to fix it. And if you're worried about perfection, you ain't gonna break it. But you need to break it. What if you need to break it to make it perfect? Your revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra, electrifies your second house. Speak truth as synthesis. Your authentic voice generates genuine value and resources. Speak truth as synthesis, but it's hard for people to speak their truth and stand on it. You're sacred now. You stand at the gates of your own pyramid. Embody your authentic self completely. Let relationships realign around your truth rather than old accommodations. It's much easier being your authentic self and letting everybody else around you adjust to that. But you fear being your authentic self because when you do that, oh yes, best believe you're gonna lose some people. Your fear of the loss prevents the authentic, the true authentic from coming out. And you keeping the true authentic bottled up, what does that do? Out of fear of losing somebody, that ain't doing you no good. And it ain't doing them no good either. Just saying. Libra rising. The gate of closure. The gate of closure. The eclipse in the 12th. Saturn, it opposes from your 6th. Your mandate. Finish the karmic purge. Close the cycle. Your spiritual foundations, unconscious patterns, or hidden service work demands completion. What you prepared in private must now emerge. You could sit up here and knit, have a whole garage full of things you knitted, but if nobody knows you got it, what good is it doing? It's just gonna sit. Nobody knows you could do it. What good is it going to do? Just going to sit. The illusions you need to conquer, spiritual pride, hidden fears, or self-sabotaging patterns that keep you trapped. Release the illusion that you're unprepared or that perfection is required before emergence. Your temptation. Saturn in your sixth house tempts you to remain stuck in daily routines, health anxieties, and perfectionist loops rather than trust your spiritual preparation. The revolutionary tools, Mercury and Libra in your first house, your purified voice leads the way. Your genuine social contributions emerges from spiritual clarity about your unique purpose. The sacred now. What spiritual work or hidden preparation has been gestating? Trust what you've learned in solitude and let it guide your emergence into authentic leadership. Mm. Scorpio risings. The gate of community. The eclipse is happening in your 11th. Saturn opposes in your 5th. Your mandate. Complete the collective offering. Chronicle your mythic role. Your relationship with groups, social causes, and your future vision requires definitive action and commitment. Scorpios, y'all don't like to commit? Maybe it's because Scorpio energy struggles to let go. So maybe I don't want to commit to this, because if I commit, I'm gonna be all in. Do I really want to be all in? I don't know. Sorry. Well, maybe I shouldn't commit. Maybe I hold off on the commitment to, you know. Illusions to conquer. That you must sacrifice authentic creative expression or isolate with your wounds to serve the collective. Release fantasies about goals that aren't truly your own. Scorpio, have you been working toward a goal thinking it's your own, but in all actuality, you took on somebody else's goal, somebody else's work, and now they sitting back laying like, and you working on their shit? release the fantasy about goals that aren't truly your own. The temptation. Saturn in your fifth house tempts you to isolate or dramatize your creative wounds rather than share your unique gifts with your community. Scorpio, are you woe is me? Oh, this happened to me. Or are you, hey, this is what happened to me, and this is what I did to get over it, and so can you. You can heal, because, hell, I had to heal through this, this, and this. So if I ain't over here, woe is me, why the hell you over here, woe is me? Get your ass up and get to it. So, Scorpio, are you dramatizing your creative wounds rather than share your unique gifts with your community? Your revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra activates your 12th house. Let spiritual clarity guide your contributions. Your depth work qualifies your authentic group leadership. What does that mean? You're holding back with your gifts and what you went through, and that could help and heal others, because you think, hey, who am I? I ain't qualified. Yes, you are. You the one that pulled yourself up out the mud. These people still stuck in the mud. Look at them. They need you. But if you still stuck in woe is me, but you really ain't woe is me because you done pulled yourself out the muck. And them people looking at you like, damn, how you get all that mud off of you? Huh? What are you talking about? You ain't got no mud. You don't see us covered with mud? Yeah, I see you. Good luck with that. No, Scorpio. You the one that went deep. You the one that did the work. Nah, be the authentic leader that is calling you to be. Because your sacred now, what social cause or group vision aligns with your authentic purpose. Your unique gifts are exactly what your community needs. Your community needs you, and you think they don't. Sagittarius rising, the gate of legacy. The eclipse is happening in your 10th. Saturn opposes from the 4th. Mandate. Complete the work that crowns your legacy. Your career, reputation, or public mission demands total commitment. The professional path you're meant to walk must be chosen and acted upon. Don't let somebody tell you what path to be on, Sagittarius. Choose it yourself and then act on it. Your illusions to conquer, the family obligations, emotional comfort, or domestic security require you to compromise your calling. Release outdated conditioning that keeps you small. SMR. Temptation, Saturn in your 4th, tempts you to retreat into emotional avoidance or let your family patterns prevent your public emergence. Your revolutionary tool, Mercury in the 11th, activates your 11th house. Collaborate with visionary minds, not nostalgic bonds. Are you collaborating because with somebody who's visionary and creative and want to futuristic, or are you collaborating with somebody because it's familiar? Authentic teaching leads to meaningful community involvement. Your sacred now. What professional calling has been building? Step fully into your public mission. Let family and emotional patterns reorganize around. Let family and emotional patterns reorganize around your authentic work. Capricorn rising, the gate of vision. The gate of vision. The eclipse in your 9th house. Saturn opposes from the 3rd. Your mandate, complete the worldview that guides your path. Your philosophical framework, teaching mission, or higher learning requires final commitment. The wisdom you've gathered must be shared or applied practically. It's one thing to gather the knowledge and gather all the information, but what you doing with it? If you gather it and it's just sitting there and you're not doing anything and applying it, if you gathered the information and applied it and it's working for you, are you sharing it? Are you using it and helping others? Hey, you know, if you do this, this, and this, you might. Illusions to conquer. That you must remain stuck in local concerns, daily communications, or your familiar thought patterns. Release limiting beliefs that keep you from teaching what you know. Release limiting beliefs that keep you from teaching what you know. Temptation from Saturn in your 3rd house tempts you to overthink, delay, and doubt your voice rather than trust your hard-won wisdom and step into philosophical leadership. your revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra, activates your 10th house. Speak your truth into public form. Speak your truth into public form. Your depth work qualifies you for your authentic authority in teaching. The sacred noun. What wisdom or worldview needs to be shared by you? Stop hiding behind daily routines and claim your role as the teacher of truth. People fear speaking truth because that's a lonely road to walk down, being a truth teller. Aquarius rising, the gate of power. The eclipse in the 8th, Saturn opposition in the 2nd house. Your mandate, complete the alchemy. Release what no longer serves. Your relationship with shared resources, intimate transformation, or psychological depths require complete reconstructuring. The illusions to conquer, financial fantasies, or clinging to outdated values that prevent deeper intimacy. Release illusions about material security that keep you from your authentic transformation. Temptation. Saturn in your 2nd house tempts you to cling to outdated values or fear of loss rather than trust the transformational process and share resources authentically. Your revolutionary tool, Mercury in Libra, activates your 9th house. Let truth guide the rebirth. Honest relationship communication leads to philosophical breakthrough about power and intimacy. The sacred noun. What financial, sexual, or philosophical matter needs brutal honesty? Complete the deep work that's been avoided. Transformation awaits on the other side. Pisces rising. The gate of confrontation. The eclipse in the 7th house. Saturn opposes from the 1st. The mandate. Complete the karmic contract. See others clearly. Your relationship sector demands absolute clarity. Marriage, business partnerships, or significant relationships must be refined or recommitted to completely. Illusions to conquer. Projections onto others or victim narratives about relationships. Release the fantasy of who you think your partners are versus who they actually are. The temptation. Saturn retrograde in your 1st tempts you to dissolve into confusion or compromise your identity for relationship harmony rather than bringing your authentic self to the partnership. Your revolutionary tool. Mercury in Libra activates your 8th house. Use discernment to cut through emotional entanglements. Skilled service must evolve into intimate sharing of resources and vulnerabilities. The sacred noun. What partnership needs honest confrontation? Commit to relationship from complete authenticity, allowing the connection to transform around your truth, not your accommodations. All right. So we standing at the moment now, the sacred moment of now. You know, the 29th degree chronicles the history, writing the history through this crisis and personal transformation, participates. All of this is going on within the whole collective. It's about conquesting these illusions and walking away from the fall, using surgical discernment to cut yourself away from outdated patterns and stuff. You need to stand deaf to every distraction and anything that could divert you from your path. Make sure you complete the work where the eclipse in the houses, that the eclipses is falling for you. Chronicle, write down, make sure you keeping track of the work, the passage, the journey. Finish the unfinished business, get to it. Because the gates to the pyramids are standing open now. Are you gonna walk through? You say you've been wanting it. You say you want it and all that, but you walking through it? Anybody got any questions? All right, by the way, I know I've been talking about this, but I went through your rising sign, right? Now, to get further details, look at where Mercury is located in your chart. And bring that topic into what I just said about your rising sign. What does that mean? Say this eclipse is happening in your first and seventh axis, right? So it has something to do with you and relationship. But your Mercury happens to be, let's just say, in the ninth house. So ninth house has to do with higher learning, beliefs, philosophy, and mind. So this issue that's going on also has something to do with beliefs, the ninth house issue. So that's how you also figure out more details on personally what this energy means for you. And on the other way, where is Saturn in your chart personally? You have to bring that in, right? So say you got Saturn in, I don't know, the second. Right? So you got your Mercury, got beliefs, and then Saturn about money, finances, and value. Beliefs, money, value, inside of relationships, and how you've been showing up in relationships. See how I just put them layers together? You could do that. But you got to look at your own chart and all that. But what I just did is actually when... Say you get a reading from me. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be looking at that, putting all the layers together for you. Because I would have said, hey, all right, well, I see you got this here, but that rules this, and that's over here. And so, boom, and boom, but you got the squares and all of that, right? So, no questions, but more of a reflection. I'm a Taurus rising, and I'm building a school. So what you said resonated in that area. Building or creating is a fifth house, creating. Now, the only thing I would add from that is, when you creating and building your school, are you doing it out of obligation, or are you doing the work from a place of joy? Are you having fun when you're doing it? If not, make sure you, whatever you got to do to insert fun and joy in that building process, make sure you add that. All right. So, with that being said, hopefully that resonated with you. And for anybody who's watching the replay and all of this stuff, make sure you leave a comment down below. If you have a friend or a family member that needs to hear this, make sure you share it with them. If you're looking for a reading, you need a reading, I'll be happy to have that conversation with you. Come to the website, iamastrologyreadings.com. And you know how I end this. I thank y'all for joining me. Y'all know how I end this. Know thyself, balance your energy.